Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. And I'll tell you what, before we start off right away, we're on the Trim Radio Network. A lot of wonderful things. It's called Life Walk. We have a lot of great shows on, Offsides, Live, Laugh, or whatever, Money and Change, Ranch It Up. We have Doris on now. We have Peter Kling with Revelation. We have Maggie Kling. She's, you know, prostitute podcast. We've got Raskella, Red Pill Reality Show. We've got a bunch, and we've been growing consistently. So absolutely wonderful. First thing you should know is I'm not a priest, pastor, clergy, deacon. I'm just a guy that likes to read the Bible and, you know what, and enjoy it and hopefully spread that off to you. And if you ever want to get on, you want to talk about it, you want to enjoy it, be wonderful. Always open for that. Anyway, tonight we're going to kind of get into what was Paul doing. Let's get into Paul in Ephesians 6. And Paul's got a great message today, a message of hope, a message of promise, and everything else. And I'll tell you what, in today's time, boy, we can need all the messages that we can, you know, relate to and everything. It's very funny. Last week, I'm a big college football fan. Loved it. But you get online with some of the people today, and they are immature, they're narcissistic, they're very demeaning, humiliating, everything else. And you just have to be able to just finally brush them off and move on. You try to be gentle, you try to be nice, and it's not going to work because some people are very, very lost. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in today. So don't get angry. Don't retaliate. You brush them off. That's the best thing to do because a lot of people in today's world, they don't want help. They don't want to see truth. They don't want to believe it. They are convinced in their mind that they're correct. Everybody else is wrong. And that's just the way it is. And there's things that we enjoy today that, hey, that's great. But always try to do everything in a very gentle manner. As best as you can, you know, it's okay to have fun, but at the same time, you got to know when to just say, okay, this is going nowhere and move along. And I've run into this over and over and more today. People have lost their compassion, their empathy. They've lost their sympathy, and they're very, very self-centered, very narcissistic. They don't care who they hurt. And we're going to see more and more of that. And how do we know that? Well, because Christ has already told us this. Paul's told us this. Mark, Luke, all of them, all the way through, we have seen this, where we know the world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So how do we adapt in this world? How do we prepare in this world when we know that these things are going to happen? And we can see it right before our eyes. We have road rage on the highways. We have grown men that live like they're in high school still. They're just adolescent adults. We have just all kinds of just crazy things going on. Black Friday, people going out and they're trying to get a gift and then they're fighting and they've over a present because they forgot what Christmas is really about. It's not about presents. It's not about gifts. It's not about any of that. They forgot what the Advent is about. They've forgotten what all these things are. And they just go through and they don't care who they hurt because to them it's a tree. It's, you know, I got my kid this and then they'll post it. Then they'll put all the stuff. But you forgot the true meaning. What did it take for you to understand? What will it take for you to understand? Somebody else paid a price and bought you. You were bought. You do not belong to you. You belong to God. You were chosen. The bottom line is, you are owned. We all are. For those that are chosen, I'll tell you what, you are owned. So we have to always be on our best behavior. It doesn't mean that we're not having fun or anything else. Don't go out of your way to hurt people. Don't go out of your way to do those things. Be gentle. There's nothing wrong with having fun. Listen, we all, especially in the world today, you know what? We all enjoy things and everything else. God's not telling us not to enjoy things. He's not saying that at all. He's not telling you can't make a living. He's not telling you can't do the things that you're doing, as long as it's obeying his commands. And that's be gentle. Love others as you love yourself. And it's that simple. So don't be cruel. Don't be mean. Don't be revengeful. Vengeful. Hey, that's revenge is for God. That's his. God, he gets that. So let's see what Paul has to say here in Ephesians 6. And
children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you,
unknown caller,
may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way.
And what is Paul saying there? You know, we're talking about slaves and everything else, but here's the truth of it. When he's talking about this, and what he's talking maybe relates back to those times, but in today's times, it's employees, your bosses, okay, and how we're treating others. So when we go to work, okay, it's our job to go in there and do our job the best that we can do it and be wholeheartedly into it, enjoying it, and doing the absolute best that we can, not to win their favor, but because we're winning God's favor. Okay? God sees that we work hard. He sees that we're proud of what we're doing, and we're honoring him by doing the absolute best that we can do, because who gives us the gifts of being able to do the jobs that we do? So I was in the medical field 41 years. Man, I loved it. I loved what I did. Every day I could go in there and I loved what I did. I loved making people smile. I loved the products. Everything that I did wholeheartedly. And, you know, when you work for one person, you work for the military, and then you go and you work for one person, and you've got 41 years of it, and it's wrapped up, and maybe a couple other people in a little small portion of your life, but you do the best job that you can do. It shows, and then they are like, "Hey, he's very good at what he does, or she's very good at what she does." Get along with everybody. You're doing it. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do, and it's the same thing for employees. Don't be harsh, on your employees. Okay, you're the employer, so you're supposed to be good and do your job the best that you can do. And it's that way in everything. Children, do the same thing for your parents. Love your mom and dad. Respect your mom and dad. Do everything that they ask you for your mom and dad, because you will do well with the Lord. He will look on you with favor when you do these things. So this is basically how you want to be treated is exactly what you're going to dish out. And if you're going to dish out negativity, if you're going to dish out dishonor, if you're going to dish out, you know, anything that is not good in God's eyes, what do you expect to get back? What do you expect to get back? So let's continue on.
Not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
And then we get to that right there. And it's not just against this world, against the powers, the spiritual. And you'll notice it said in heaven too. So if we go back and we look at, therefore put on the armor of God. And we understand that. What is that? That's your honor. That's your everything that you're supposed to be doing. Your hope, your faith, your spirit. Always giving your best. Just as it said above. When you're working, when you're doing this, when you're honoring, you are putting on your honor of God. That's what you're doing. You're preparing yourself for just making sure that you're protecting yourself against all the other stuff that happens, and you want to be honorable. You want to give your best, and that is what God wants. And you'll notice it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. And that's important. And we know there are, it's not only against the powers of this dark world, which we already know is a dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we know, reading through Revelations, there were raiding parties and different things going on in heaven. That's why when Christ comes back, there will be the end of heaven. There will be the end of earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And none of this will go on past that point. And how did we know that there was war before and things going on in heaven? Well, because one third of the angels fell. When Lucifer rebelled and whispered in the ear of the other angels and they fell like lightning. Christ says that in Matthew. I watched Satan fall like lightning. So we know that these things are going on. And the fact that it is still in the heavenly realms. So we know that there's only so much time that God is going to sit here and contend with man. And we know that because when he changed the languages to confuse man, when they were building the Tower of Babel, it was very clear, I will not contend with them forever. I will not contend with man. And why were they doing it? It wasn't to get closer to God. It was to take over. Very clear in that. If you go back and you read that in Genesis. So, what are and what is these putting on the full armor of God?
Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
And the Word of God, the living Word of God in the Bible, and that's what it is. And that's why he says, take up the salvation and the sword of the Spirit. God has placed inside of us when Christ has died. So when we're born, we have a choice. Free will is always going to be a choice. But we have to understand that we have the ability to quench the Spirit and choose the wrong path, choose the wrong way, do the wrong things. Understand, that's up to us. That's called free will. And there, you will see people out there, and they do that, and they don't give it a second thought. But God has also said, too, not a letter, not anything, a word, anything else uttered will not be recorded, will not be brought back upon you. So understand that. And what he's saying right here is the hope that we have. The belt of truth buckled around your waist. Be honest. Be truthful. The breastplate of righteousness in its place. If you're being truthful, You're being honest. You're being righteous in all the things that you see. Don't do things that are misjudging, changing scales, changing, you know, favoritism. There is no favoritism with God. I'm telling you now, he's non-biased. This is this, and that's it. That's all there is to it. So you have to be righteous, a righteous person, doing the right thing all the time. Make sure your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Hey, we're supposed to walk. You'll notice in the Bible, Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant, and you will notice cleansing of feet, the deals, land deals being made with sandals. I'm holding up this sandal here. Hey, how do we know that? Boaz. If you go in and you read Boaz in the book of Ruth, you will see this. You will see examples of this. But this is everywhere. You saw this with Moses. So when he was over there and he was talking to Christ that was within the burning bush, which was the angel first, take off your sandals. The ground in which you're standing is the most holy of ground. This is how it is all the way through. You're walking with God. You're walking with Christ. Always has to do with the feet. Clean your feet. Do all this. It is a representation of being holy. So we're making sure that we're doing that and we're walking in God's word. That's the most important thing there. With the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. That's right. This is peace. This is love. This is sharing a connection with other human beings that is going to be in a honorable, loving manner. So I think that that's important, and people have to understand that. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Wow, faith, what a great word. Faith is believing in God, even though he is invisible, but knowing that God exists, knowing that Christ did these things, even though we didn't witness it, but faith is knowing that these things happened. And even though the people are like, well, how do we really know what happened from back then? Oh, we have artifacts. We have places. We have witnesses. We have a whole bunch of different accounts. The timelines, everything that happened. I mean, the prophets coming from before that, over 200 to 500 years before that. I mean, if you go all the way back to Moses, it's absolutely incredible. We have scrolls, parchments, all kinds of documentation. These things took place. Without a doubt, they have taken place. Science backs it up. I mean, it's just incredible. So that's the wonderful thing about that, too. And it says, you know, the field in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The person that has faith, the person that has belief in knowing this, understand, protects themselves even better because that Satan is playing a game with us. Let's say you have normal problems that are going on in your life. As you all know, there's people out there that are in wars and everything else. And we're thinking, wow, can you imagine having that on your shoulders? Can you imagine not knowing where your loved ones are? Can you imagine? And you make a pie chart out of this. So you cut this piece off here and you think it's big. You think it's like half this pie chart. But the thing that people don't count on is the spiritual warfare that we fight is 90% of the pie. It's 90% because no matter what, the evil one, Satan, Lucifer, he's hitting you from all sides all the time. All the time. And those small problems that we have, your sickness or whatever else, the losing of the job and everything else, understand something that's compounded by all the garbage that he is doing. Remember, he comes here to do what? He has three purposes: steal, kill, and destroy. And he's doing that by invading the other parts of the pie that are really bothering you. And you don't even realize the biggest piece, the biggest slice, is him to begin with. That's a hard spiritual battle because he doesn't just leave you alone. It never ends. It's 24/7, the entire life you live here on earth. He is always looking for a way to make you feel like you're not good enough. He's always looking for a way to let you know what you've done is unforgivable. He's always looking for a way to make you feel like, well, Christ isn't going to want you. Anything he can do, every trickery, everything that you can imagine he does, they're schemes. And he's the best at it. Why? Because he knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows the Bible better than what you can know the Bible. So we have to be able to banish all that out of our head, out of our body, out of our mind, and understand and have the faith that God gave us to know that he chose us. We're bought, we're paid for, we're not for sale, and he will flee from you. And that's how it is. The last one is, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God has said he will implant upon us. Christ told us, I will not leave you here by yourselves. You will have an advocate. That advocate is in us. It is the Holy Spirit. The word of God is imprinted on our hearts and on our minds. So we know, take the helmet of salvation. Hey, that's ours. I know that we are saved. God, Jesus Christ, Son of the one and only Son of God, came and saved me. That's my salvation. That's my helmet. And then you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's it. The Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will help you along the way. Don't worry about what you're going to say if somebody takes you to court. The words that come out of you are from the Holy Spirit, from God. So that's what Paul is trying to tell us with. He is giving this message as a message of hope. This message is a message of not just obedience, but it is a message of hope. It's a message of love. It's how we're to appear. That's why he says at the very beginning, we could see the examples. Children, honor your mother and your father. Workers, hey, honor your employer. Okay? You're the employees. Do the best job you can do. Okay? Be happy. Be joyful about it. And there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is a temporary thing. Joy is a all the time great feeling, because no matter what the circumstances that come before you, good, bad, and different, the joy is no matter what, God is with you. No matter what, Christ is with you. You have the Trinity. It's all in us. And we can say, people are like, well, what do you mean? Are you trying to tell me God is in you? Well, let's go back to Matthew. And Matthew made it clear. The Father is in me. I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. I come from the Father. And he's telling the Pharisees, if you knew my Father, then you would have known me. If you listened to Moses, you would have known me, but you don't. So you don't know the Father, so therefore you don't know me. But he goes on and he elaborates even more later on, and he says, I'm not leaving you here alone, for where I go, you cannot come, but I'm not leaving you alone. And eventually you will come. But the beauty of it is, I'm going to leave you the advocate. Well, Christ is giving the advocate from himself. And then Paul elaborates on that later on down here, where he says, listen, therefore you have to understand, we are in Christ and Christ is in us, which means that we are in God and God is in us. So we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all within us, and how we're supposed to represent ourselves and how the things that we're supposed to do to be obedient to God. So every time that we screw up, every time that we make a mistake and it's intentional and we're not trying to better ourselves and keep going in a forward motion to get better and better every day, we are doing what? We're crucifying Christ all over again. That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. So we have to always try to keep going forward. So let's see.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains.
And what is Paul trying to say here? I'm an ambassador, but I'm in chains. I'm in prison. That's right. Christ says, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to tell you. I'm an ambassador. I'm here to tell you that this yoke is easy. I'm in chains because, you know what? I am so hooked to God. I am a slave. I'm a prisoner to the word, to love, to his being. I'm all in. I'm all in 100%. And that's what Paul is sitting here telling us. And I am an ambassador. I am here to spread this word to all of us, to all of you. And that's one of the beautiful things. And it's the truth. It's the light.
Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
And that's it. With an undying love, a never-ending love, with a faith so deep, so you are fearless that you're not going to be embarrassed if you're talking. Listen, if I have an opportunity and I can bring it out, I'm taking it. Now, if you're not going to accept it and you're not going to receive it, I mean, we also know at that time too, God was very specific. Christ was very specific. And he said, listen, on that house, bring peace to that house. If that house receives you, and when you go, take the peace, leave the peace, hey, you know, and you can go. If it does not, take it back. Kick your sandals in that town. It'll be better than Sodom and Gomorrah. Better for them to have millstones. I'm going to tell you, God is very clear. But everything he says, notice it's encourage. Notice it's love. Notice it's faith. Notice it's brothers and sisters. It's everybody who loves what? Okay? For all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, the undying love. Christ came and he died in the flesh, but was raised in the Holy Spirit. So the beauty of that is it's an undying love. It's not going to happen again. There is no death for him. He beat death. He descended down. He let death know, I beat you. He took anyone that was there that he needed. He rose. He showed himself to who first? Well, it was Mary. And he gave her instructions. Go back. Tell the other brothers, the sisters, everything. And she did. But it was such a love, such an unyielding love, just open, that this is exactly what happened. The Bible is just a wonderful, wonderful love story. It's got a lot of theological, interpretations it's wonderful parallelisms. It's poetically written. It's, metaphorically, just everything is just so strong, and everything put together from Old Testament to New Testament. 63,799 cross references on a book written by 40 different people on three continents, is incredible itself. Africa, Asia, Europe, in three different languages, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Over 2,000 years. And people don't understand that. The scrolls, the parchments, and everything else goes back farther, farther, farther. And what we're finding new stuff all the time, which just reproves it over and over again. And it's incredible. So this is the kind of thing that we have to deal with today to help us get through all the white noise, all this trouble, and all the problems that we're having today. We have to have faith. We have to know where we're going. And we have to know what it takes to get to go where we're going. But you have to have a peace. You know, you can't. And we're going to mourn. And what is mourning? We've talked about this before. People are like, well, when somebody dies, I mourn. So because I love that person. So sinners do that. Who cares? We already know that too. Mourning is being regretful for the things that you do wrong. And it's also mourning for when somebody is lost or somebody dies. It has so many meanings. And then one thing about the Bible is it's open to wonderful interpretation. So you have to look at these things. You have to be able to peel back the layers on it and see the different things going on. But it is truly the greatest love story. And they're like, wow, you go to the Old Testament, God was ruthless. You know, no, he wasn't. He was so patient. It's incredible to me. Okay. I look at the people. They were ruthless. God himself was patient. He was merciful. I mean, understand something. He doesn't need us. We need him. And that's the truth of it all. And we have to live it. We have to live every day like that. Thank him. Be happy. You have nothing in this world that didn't come from him. Everything good comes from God. Your house, your job, your car, your wife, your children, your monies that you make, anything that you have has come from God. And if you want to sit here and say, well, I've got sickness, that's his fault. No, it's not. He doesn't give you that. God doesn't tempt because there's no evil in him. Okay? God is not going to sit here and tempt you. He's not going to do it. God will test you. There's no question. We know that because David said many, multiple times. So did before him, different people in the, test my heart, Lord. Test my heart. Know it's true. Know that in Job too. And I mean, great book. Oh, Job, wonderful book. They're all wonderful, but we have to be able to function in this world. We have to get through this world because you're not getting out of here alive. Where you end up afterward, alive or dead, is up to you. And people are like, well, you know, I don't want to go to hell. That's not the biggest thing you should fear. To me, the most important thing that you don't want to hear is God telling you, Christ God telling you, I never knew you. You never knew me. That's why I said, many will come, but few are chosen. I'd rather be the few that are chosen. So keep striving, keep going forward. A smile, seeing somebody that's hurting, taking time, showing love, encouragement, love, help, giving to those who don't have. If you have a lot, give, help. He's not telling you to go down to the church and write a check off. No, give to the needy. There's other ways of giving. There's a lot of ways of tithing. How you choose, you know what? As long as you just start to make an effort, maybe it's your time. Maybe it's you being at that place when somebody's so far down that you step in to help them. You're that person. You might not know it, that maybe God puts you right there for that reason. If we start walking around the world and looking at things like that, there's a reason that I'm in this traffic jam. Maybe God is trying, instead of getting mad, getting angry, getting road rage, maybe he's kept you back there because there's an accident up there or an accident that's going to happen. And it might just save your life. Why? Because we can go all the way back and he says, hey, I know the plans I have for you. I know your purpose. So as long as we take a look at these things and we think about these things, understand something, we're going to get a lot farther. We're going to be a lot happier. And when we get trials and tribulations, you know what? Try to put that worry off. Don't worry. Worry's not going to add anything to you. It's not going to do one thing for you because what's here today is still going to be here tomorrow if God gives you tomorrow. Okay? Let him worry about it. That's what he wants. He wants you to have a relationship with him, a spiritual, close, loving relationship with God. And that's what he needs you to do. That's what he wants from all of us. He doesn't want to lose anybody. Understand that. Christ was clear about that. He doesn't want to lose one. No, not one. So take that. I want you to rest on that thought. Rest on what Paul is saying, you know, here today. He's so wonderful. And it's absolutely just incredible how he sends this message off. But now let's go in and let's hear, now that we're there, we'll go ahead and we'll read this part. Prayers matter. Praying for people praying for you. It's powerful, very powerful. So let's get a listen.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, this verse comes at the end of a very famous passage of scripture where the Apostle Paul is compelling us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. And he tells us to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, et cetera, et cetera. He ends this spiritual guidance by turning our attention away from ourselves and the armor we're putting on ourselves outward to the broader community of Christians who are similarly trying to stand against the enemy. What he's telling us to do is essentially when we go before God in prayer, pray for our brothers and sisters too. And so what the Apostle Paul is trying to get us to do is to really not be self-centered Christians, you know? The kind of people who go before God for what we need, but forget about the needs of others. You know, the Bible tells us that there is a constant war, a constant battle between our spirit and our flesh. And that is not unique to us. We're all in this spiritual war. So when you go before God and you pray for God to move in your life, when you pray for God to protect you, when you pray for God to lead and guide you, remember to pray for your brothers and sisters too. Because they need it. And I know I do. God bless you.
Whew. Powerful. And that's what all of that is. Being upward and outward to the rest of mankind. Like I said, helping, loving, caring. You know, not being self-centered, not being narcissistic, not being cruel, not being mean, not having road rage. You don't know what the other person's going through. Stop thinking about how you got cut off by accident. Stop thinking about how this person might have insulted you. Instead, look at it from a perspective of, I don't know what kind of day they're having. How can I possibly make it better for them? What can I do? Well, the only thing I can do is not react, okay? Or just say, hey, listen, are you okay? I'm sorry about that. You know, who cares if it's your fault or not? It doesn't matter. God doesn't give you that. What he gives you is the opportunity on how to react. That's what that is. You're sick? Let him fight the battle of the sickness. How you react to it is going to help determine the outcome. Faith, love, don't give up. Don't give in, don't give out. I mean, it's not easy. It's not. He never promised us anything easy. But remember this too. He didn't promise you a house. He didn't promise you a job. He didn't promise you a wife, kids, car, anything. He's not promising any of that. He didn't promise you wouldn't get sick. He said, be obedient, love each other, love me, obey my words, my statutes, my decrees, my covenants, and I will give you rest. I will give you eternal life. Stop thinking worldly. Look past that and try to focus, try to see what's past that, eternal life. I mean, I don't know what's a better way to go. This stuff is temporary. In the blink of an eye, we're gone. In a blink of an eye, your life has passed by. I mean, think about it. You were a kid at one point, and all of a sudden, 50 years later, you're like, wow, what happened? And it feels like yesterday. And it's been a tough road a lot of times. But that is perseverance, getting through that. That is testing you. You're expected to go into the most holy of holy places, heaven, heavenly realms, but it will be heaven, especially when the new heaven comes. Yeah, you're going to be tested a little bit. He's making sure he's picked the best. And sometimes picking the worst ends up being the best. Look at the 12 disciples. Look at Moses. Go back and look at Jacob. Go back and look at all of them. He doesn't pick the most beautiful, the brightest, the shiniest, the well-spoken. God will choose who he wants to choose when he wants to choose them for whatever he needs them to do. And that's the thing about it. And you know what? He'll have mercy on who he'll have mercy. He'll have compassion on who he wants to have compassion. You're not going to change his mind. Who gives him counsel? Who tells him what's right or wrong? Not people. We're mortals. We're nobody. He thinks above us. His wisdom is beyond ours. It's not even close. Just remember, our God is so powerful. There's nothing that he can't do. Nothing. I don't know about you, but if this were a horse race, I know who I'm betting on. So that's who I'm running with. With that, I want you to have a great week. Be kind to one another. Love one another. Have a great week. And try to ignore the other people that are out there and they're like that. Just move on. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your effort or everything else. They're going to be hypocrites. They're going to mock you. They're going to try to tear you down. They're going to try to do everything they can to break your faith, to break your hope. And maybe they feel that way because they're in a bad spot. And some people have a hard time looking in the mirror and saying, okay, what negativity did I bring to the table? And what was my fault? Not what somebody else did, but what was my problem? They can't do that. And until people can learn to do that and learn to accept and learn to sit there and say, okay, you know what? That's on me. Tell you what, their lives aren't going to change. You want change? It's a good way to get it. Put on the full armor of God. Take that with you this week. God bless. Take care.